A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
So I went to Mum and said, I don't actually like construction. You know, what am I going to do? How do I tell Dad?
This is Property Investory, where we talk to successful property investors to find out more about their stories, mindset, and strategies. I'm Tyrone Shum, and in this episode, we're speaking with Raymond Fayard, co-founder of property development agency Ellison Property. Raymond was introduced to the industry at a young age, and we learn how he went from a construction site to being a professional sports agent to now building large-scale developments from 4,000 to even 15,000 units. Raymond and his brother have grown up around construction and property development. With construction in their blood, it's now time for their generation to take the reins and lead the business in a new direction.
My family have been in property their whole lives through construction. My grandfather, his grandfather, going all the way back to our, we're third generation now, but even his father and his grandfather, they were all builders back in our homeland of Lebanon. So in the 1800s, they were building schools and roads and all that. So it's been in our blood. It's been instilled in us. It literally is in our blood, and we've just grown into it from a very early age. Now today, me and my brother have created another company, set up another arm, just more of a development arm. Looking for new, fresher ways to do things differently. We wouldn't be in this position without our family, without our history, but it's got to a stage where we, just want to do things differently, new 21st century kind of thing, young, new, fresher approach. And using what we have learned in the past and through our family though.
With the company on his shoulders, he keeps himself physically and mentally strong.
So I'd be up at 5 a.m., go to the gym first thing in the morning. That just sets you off on that right path where you're achieving something, you're doing something, keeps the mind fresh, body feeling good. So with a personal trainer every morning at 6:30 a.m., straight after that, into the office at about 7:30, 8 o'clock, pick up the coffee, go through the news. So I always like to start the day reading what's going on in the world, in the news, using all, whether it's property, sport, everything, like just the whole everything, big on sport. So sport's my break from work, you could say. And then I get stuck into the day, which is meeting with the heads of each department, going over their reports, seeing where everything is. So it's not a physical, I get in and I check emails at a certain time. It's more, we're creating a company here where everyone's free to talk to each other, walk around. It's not you do this, sit at your desk. It's get up, walk around, go for a coffee to have a meeting, just pick up, don't have to always pick up the phone or are you available? It's just walk into the office. So there's not a real set structure. Everyone's doing their work, but it's more about, getting everyone involved a bit more. So my day is involving my stronger point, which I have learned in the past was in planning and acquisition. So I still do gravitate towards dealing a lot more with the real estate agents, dealing a lot with state government and local councils to get our approvals through. So that would take up most of my time still, because it's just naturally the way it is. We've got the planning team, but at the end of the day, we need to, that's what I come back to. My brother, Fayad, who's also the other co-founder, he grew up more on the construction side of it, so it was a good balance. So we've actually balanced out well, which has helped us get to this and start this company.
At what point did the brothers establish their positions?
So I think our father at a young age saw our kind of strong points, and he kind of, yeah, so straight from school, my brother went out on site. I went out on site, didn't like it as much. So my dad saw that and kind of put me in the office business management side of it. So it was good. And yeah, it's worked out beautifully now. So we both have our strong points. We both still cross over, like I'll cross over in construction still, he'll cross over in acquisition, but you just have your strong points and we go to each other for advice and updates on where everything's at.
Ramon grew up and went to school in Constitution Hill, where he's still based now.
I've literally, in the 32 years of my life, I've been in, not a bubble, but everything has been Western Sydney. Like I was born in Westmead Hospital, I grew up in Constitution Hill, and I went to school in at Maris Brothers, Parramatta, which is across the road from Westmead Hospital. Yeah, and just knowing the area is what obviously kept us there, but investing, like in it, going back to my grandfather and uncles in the business, they were always Western Sydney. They believed in Western Sydney. They knew the area. And yeah, again, growing up, it was instilled in us. So we, yeah, I mean, they stick to what you know as well. So it's not that we don't go out to other areas, but we know what we can develop for. We know what we can build for. We know the sites. We know. So we just stuck to our stronger point was Western Sydney where, yeah, where we knew what we were doing.
So growing up in Western Sydney, you went to school there. Did you actually also finish high school around the area and then go on to further education?
Yeah, so again, yeah, so Maris Brothers, Parramatta from year 7 all the way to year 12. Then after school, it's interesting, to give you a bit more of a background, I went on site as soon as I, construction site, as soon as I finished school, expecting it just to go through the flow because that's what my brother did as well. So I was expecting, you know, I'll go on site, go through the ranks, go through the steps. But it was probably about 6 to 8 weeks into construction, I didn't actually like the construction side of it. So I was always into sport when I was younger. That was, I was like from soccer, footy, tennis, I played everything. So 8 weeks in, I went to my mum first, being a bit of a mummy's boy, to break the news to her. You know, I was a bit scared to tell dad I didn't like construction. So I went to mum and said, I don't actually like construction. You know, what am I going to do? How do I tell dad? And she's like, no, just tell him, be open. We're not going to force you to do what you don't want to. We want you to be happy in life. We want you to be successful. But at the same time, you need to be happy, which is the most important thing. So I actually stepped away from construction and property and went on to do sports management, which is a player agent. So I was like managing football players, soccer players, basketball players. I had my accreditation with the NRL. So I did that for about a year. But, I mean, stepping away from that then allowed me to realize what I did have in the construction industry, in the property industry. So, I mean, I took some stuff away from it. It was good. It was a good learning experience. But again, without the support of my parents, yeah, I wouldn't be in that position now where they let me step away and see what I had.
What was it about the sports industry that led him back to construction?
I thought it would be all the glitz and glamour of sports and celebrities and getting involved in the team. But I just didn't have the passion that I thought. Like I gave it time. I had a lot of like work experience with other agents and I just didn't have that. Like I was good at the start when you're learning something new, but then probably about 6 months in, I just thought, you know what, it's not what I thought it would be. Not because I wanted to get straight to the top and be the number one agent. It was just, I just saw the nitty gritty of it all, the behind the scenes. It just wasn't, it wasn't a passion. Like I didn't have the passion that I thought I would have had. So, and again, that then obviously allowed me to take a step back and say, okay, I had it good. Like, you know, I've been blessed with what my family has helped me set up and what they've set up for me. So it was okay, look, let me just have another shot at it. And that's when my dad pulled me in and said, okay, you don't like construction, it's fine. Let's look at the business side of it. And that's when he started getting me involved with dealing with real estate agents and dealing with planning. And that's when I really loved that. I saw the potential there and yeah, just went from there. So, but I mean, it's good. I mean, what I learned in sport management allowed me to bring some of those key attributes to the property industry, which is all the teamwork and working together. So it was good. I mean, I didn't like it. It wasn't the future, but to say I didn't learn anything from it wouldn't be right. I did learn a lot from there and allowed me to appreciate what I do have.
Growing up in high school, would you spend time learning the ropes from your parents?
Yeah, on holidays. So when I term holidays, the two-week holiday breaks, dad would wake me up at 6 a.m. or wake up with my brother at 6 a.m. Yeah, there's no holidays. But I wanted to do it. Yeah, I wanted to do it. It wasn't about they wake me up and drag me out of bed. Like, say, it wasn't forced. It was I wanted to do it. I wanted to learn. I mean, yeah, growing up early on, I mean, from when I was 6 or 7 or 8, when I could start understanding things a bit better, like we'd have a family barbecue with all our cousins and relatives, and the talk was construction, the talk was property. So without realizing it, you were learning, you were picking up on things as well. So yeah, and it just gradually built. And a lot of people in my year at school, a lot of their families are involved in property. So without, yeah, so it was there without physically really focusing on it. Like you just heard it in the background. So you learnt and learnt. From a young age, I've been involved in it, and yeah, I knew there was always going to be some kind of future there for me.
Ramon shares his parents' career and business story.
A property has been their number one investment vehicle, you could say. But over the years, my father's kind of gradually started getting into different kind of businesses too. He realized that property is now for me and my brother. So he's kind of now started to a bit more through medical, through finance. He's getting ends in a bit more businesses. But yeah, they're, like you said, they've been nurturing. They've been great. They've allowed us to do what we want to do. It's not a yes or no. It's come to me. Let's talk, you know, let's work out a way. So they've been great. They'll always be in property. I mean, they've got a lot of properties. So mum's involved in the business, but obviously not as much as dad, but she's part of it. She's in the office daily. But yeah, she's more the mother, the go-to when you need an issue and there's a problem. So she's the office mum, we call her here. So she looks after everyone's.
With there being so many pathways in property development, the Fayard family settled on mainly apartment developments. But now the brothers want to shake things up a little.
The apartment development was a strong point at the start. And that's what got me into it. Seeing the developments that we're doing, just seeing it come alive from, on the way to school, I'd be driving past our development sites and I'd see the apartments going up. And from our school, we were building one behind us. So when I was in class, people were saying, oh, that's your development. It gave you like proud. You were proud, you know what I mean? So seeing stuff like that, people saying, oh, your family's doing well, your company's doing well, it inspired me to want to keep doing it and keep that tradition going. So apartment development is always the best. But now with the new group, my brother and I, we want to create more communities. You know, we want to give that retail mix. We want to give that vibe to each development. When you walk into an Ellison development, you'll know it's an Ellison development, good retail mix, good living. So that's why. So we'll always be apartments. It's what we know. It's what we've been doing for over 50 years, what the family has been doing. So I think that is our strong point and we'll keep doing that. But yeah, it was always apartments. Not to say we won't do anything else, but apartments will be our strong points. We've developed commercial buildings in the past. We've done our townhouses. We've done retail shops. We've done shopping centers. But we just always, 90% will always be apartments.
And on the scale of the apartments, like how many apartments do you usually look at doing on average?
There's always about 2,000 apartments under construction at any given one time. In the planning, there could be up to, I mean, there's some of the big developments, like we've got one up out in Leppington, which is earmarked for about 15,000 apartments in an 80,000 square meter shopping center. So obviously that's not being built overnight. That's a 10 to 15 year project, which will be built over time. Then there's bigger ones in There's one in Schofield, which is 4,000 apartments, one in Parklea, 5,000. So we're long-term. We're here to stay. We're developing. We're working with local communities, working with local councils to get the best development. So, like I said, we're proud of what we develop. We're not here today, gone tomorrow. We stand behind our products. And, so they're the kind of developments that we're doing. We're creating communities, creating mini suburbs, you could say. So, yeah, and we really, really enjoy doing that. It's not just putting up apartments and hopefully leasing the shops later. We're getting that retail mix right from the start. We're engaging retail architects, retail agents to get that input to make it sure it's a viable development. So,
coming up after the break, Ramon Fayard shares insights on the future market.
So we do know that the immigration is going to pick up again. The borders are going to eventually open. It's not going to be closed for a while.
We learn how Ellison Group funds the business through large-scale projects.
So once you've delivered one job or two or three jobs, they trust you, the trust is there, and you just keep repeat business.
He outlines the build-to-rent process.
I mean, it's been the talk of the town for the last year or two, but there was no incentives. There was no real incentives for developers to do it.
And that's coming up next. I'm Tarun Sharm, and you're listening to Property Investory. Hey, property investor, is your cash or equity currently earning you 1% to 2% per annum sitting in the bank? What if I said to you that you can do better? To find out more, simply register your interest to become a money partner at propertyinvestory.com. Right now, there are great opportunities in the property market, and I'm looking for money partners who want to invest to get a high return with low risk on their money for 6 months. Register your interest by visiting propertyinvestory.com. Ellison Property are dealing with large-scale developments, constructing massive apartment complexes, building communities, and even creating suburbs. How are they finding the demand for these kinds of works?
Obviously, COVID has put a pause on immigration, but before that, there was a huge drive. We saw, everyone could see that Australia's the safe haven. Everyone's coming to Australia, whether it's investing or wanting to move. So I think the demand is there from overseas and once the tourism picks up again. But I think, like I said, our developments are not two-year projects. They're 15-year projects. They're 10-year projects. So we do know that the immigration is going to pick up again. The borders are going to eventually open. It's not going to be closed for a while. I think so that is where it's immigration. And we're still seeing a large number of locals here who are still buying for family members overseas. So mums and dads are buying property here for their kids to come out in the future and still study. So study and education is a big part. Australia's got the best education in the world. So you've got your background, like your Chinese, your Indian, they're all buying here for their kids' futures. So between immigration, education, and growth, I think those three cover us over the next 10 to 15 years, I would say.
And that's really interesting because we're looking at long-term, usually smaller developments take anywhere between, say, 12 to 24 months. And basically you're in and out and you got your cash and so forth. But you're looking at 5, 10 years. How do you actually sustain a business for that period of time?
So when I say a 15,000 or a 4,000 unit development, it's not getting the money for the 15,000 units up front. You stage it with the funder. You stage it with the whoever your financier is at the time. So yes, it's a 15,000 unit development, but they'll look at it 500 units at a time and you'll deliver it in stages. So they're going to fund you for the first 500. They roll that money into the next stage, the next stage, and the next stage. But at the same time, we've got a pool of assets. We've got commercial buildings. We've got retail assets. We've got hotels, a hospitality business where we keep funding through that as well. So there is a lot of cash flow, but cash flow is king. You need obviously need your cash flow to keep businesses going. But at the same time, the construction arm is run through, the construction development arm of a development is run through our financier team, but they forecast. So they look at it in stages. And we've got heads of finance. We've got a finance director who's ex-ANZ. So he understands the whole process and he's got the contacts in the industry. So they will continue to, they continue to work with the funders. And we like to only work with a minimal amount of financiers. So once you've delivered one job or two or three jobs, they trust you, the trust is there, and you just keep repeat business. They know you're going to deliver. So the risk is a lot more minimal. So a key to that would be proving yourself in the first couple, and then they'll naturally just come back to you and want to do more and more.
Fantastic. That's always been the challenge, I guess, with any development, because I think at the end of the day, when people are actually buying property just to invest, they hold on to it and you've got your stable cash flow from rentals. But with these ones, as you said, until you actually deliver on it, and obviously with pre-sales and so forth, that's when you keep rolling the funds through.
But even the pre-sales now, there's a lot of build-to-rent that's happening now. So financiers are good. They're business minded. Like your traditional banks, when you used to deal with the Westpacs, ANZ, it had to be 110% debt coverage, which in this market, it just never get off the ground. So financiers now have understood the market's changing and they're doing a lot more build to rent developments, which we're also doing a few of them too. So it's educating them as much as it is just asking for money. You got to take them through it. So it's good. It's good. I now have, in the last maybe 4 or 5 years, got more involved in the finance side, allowed me to travel a lot more to Hong Kong, to India, to Dubai, to look at all these funds and see what people are looking for. So it's been good. It's been good. And I think they're willing to change. They're willing to adapt. So whatever the market is, this financier will change, or you'd use a different financier for a different project just to keep it flowing.
Ramon explains the concept of build to rent, outlining its key benefits.
It's been the talk of the town for the last year or two, but there was no incentives there was no real incentives for developers to do it. So, but now recently the government has come in with a 50% land tax reduction if you do build to rent. So they're starting to realize it's more and more. But in short, build to rent is like you build, obviously build it and you can only rent it. And you've got to rent it for a certain amount of period. There's got to be an on-site manager. There's got to be amenities for the community. So like a community center or somewhere for the residents to meet. It's good. It's again, it's another development. It's another part of the business where it can assist you with cash flow. Financiers like it once there's, so basically you'd do a development site, you'd rent it out and then you'd refinance it. And that's how financier moves out. Or a financier has two different arms where they have a construction loan and they have a long-term hold asset loan. So they'll do the both. So they'll, another pool will refinance it and just keep the money turning there. So you pay them interest or whatnot. So there's a lot of people doing it now. And it's another good thing for people who obviously affordability is an issue in Sydney for a lot of people. So rental is their only option. You'll see a lot more coming up and we'll continue to do some, but it's good. I mean, you can still own an asset and you can rent at the same time. So I think a lot of people are doing that now.
That's great. So just to clarify and understand, you would be building as a developer, building the apartments, and then also too, you'd be probably managing them as well too, because you're renting out to tenants as well. So therefore you literally have to set up an arm to run that.
The property management. Yeah. So we've got a property manager in here as well who will be doing that. But again, it allows us to then either go to the local real estate agent or run it with us, depending on how big it is or whatnot. But yeah, we've got a property manager in house who runs that whole thing. But yeah, you're right. It's another arm. You're basically setting up the business to purely look after that. So turn into a mini hotel service department kind of development.
It's very smart. It's like you almost like you got your big chunks of cash coming in from the sales of the properties, and then you also got your rental arm, which is your long-term strategy.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's what, going back to what I said, cash flow is, and that'll be the cash flow that can help the business running, which every business needs.
I mean, I've heard a few developers, they say, you know, build some, keep some, sell some, you know.
Yeah, we used to do like, so we'd sell some in the development and then we'd like keep some, like 10 or 20 in the development. But now we've actually said, no, let's do a proper build to rent developments where it's pure rent. So I think in the next 3 years, we've earmarked about 2,000 apartments to do as build to rent. So it's good, yeah. And it allows options as well. You're not just the developer who sells. You know, people are, there's a lot more people who want to rent. So there is the market for it, and it gives us allows us to give options for both people, all people.
And then talking about financiers, you're talking about going overseas to get funding and so forth. Are we talking about like private funding here? We're not talking about going to a bank institution overseas, are we?
No, private funds. Yeah. So private funds overseas, yeah, manage, whether it's a super fund or private fund. Yeah. But it's funds from overseas, whether it's, it could be anywhere. Like we're dealing with the head of the each fund, where they get that. They say it's private money as well. So the fund manages it for these private, high net worth individuals. And comes through us. And
what is it about Australia that these private investors are attracted to compared to other countries?
Government stability is a big one. We're very, like, touch wood, never war. There's never, I mean, there's never controversy or major things that shake up the government. And Australia's still young. They can see the growth and the potential. It's distant from everyone. So it never gets caught up in all the European issues or the American issues. We're far away. We're safe. We're young. And you can, not the way we sell it, but we know it. And obviously having the experience in it, if you guys have been there for 50 years with all your experience, we know what you're doing. We know something's working, something's going right. So we know Western Sydney is our strong point. So we can sell that well. We can tell them what we're delivering, how we're delivering it, the return. And again, it's, you can say it as much, but you need to show it as well. So we've obviously, we've delivered in the past and with these funders. But I think going back to your question is it's the safety of the country and the potential growth. We're such a big country with a small population of 25 million, but that will continue to grow. People are continuing to come over and they know there is money to be made for their businesses, but the growth, potential growth is what the key is, I think.
Moving on, I ask him about his company name and where it originated from.
So Ellison comes from, it's a combination of two words. The E-double-L is from a street we grew up in, my first house in Marylands in Western Sydney. So it was Ellis Street, Marylands. So I was there for the first 5 or 6 years of my life. My brother was there probably for the first 10 years of his life before we moved to Constitution Hill. But that E-double-L comes from Ellis. And the second part of Ellison, which is the E-R-S-O-N, is from Anderson Street in Parramatta, which was my brother and I's first project together. So we combined the two where we first grew up and our first project and became Ellison.
Ramon describes that first development project they did as brothers.
It's a 23-story, 173-apartment development, which is a build-to-rent. So we're looking at, which that's why it also holds a lot of sentimental value to us, because we're going to hold it, we're going to build it, we're going to rent it, and it's going to be our first, it'll always be, come back to being our first development together. So that's the one, yeah, it's always going to have that bit of a special feeling. Ground floor retail on the park in the Parramatta CBD, and something we'll always, cherish, I guess, and have that special feeling, yep.
How did you and your brother find that first development site?
Again, luckily through knowing local agents, we've had that site for a while. So we have bought it probably over 10 years ago, I'd say. But this was before Parramatta boomed. So we actually had a DA approval on it for a 6-story, 50-unit development. But when Parramatta was changing, there was growth, we took the opportunity and we decided to rezone the site, which is obviously uplifting and changing LEPs. Got it to a 23-story tower, increased the unit number, and yeah, just through a local agent, and building that reputation in the industry, knowing all the agents, you know, they come to us, they know what we're gonna, if that we are capable of settling and delivering. So yeah, it was just a simple, it wasn't, yeah, nothing out of the ordinary acquisition. It was just a normal clean acquisition, and yeah, ended up being one that we kept, and one that we're gonna, yeah, always have a special place for us.
Absolutely. So 10 years ago, you purchased it, you had a DA approve on it for 50 units. And then with the change in that, how did you go through that process?
So it was actually our town planner, who was our consultant on the job. He said, it was DA approval, about to start construction. And he said, guys, there's a lot happening in Parramatta. As you know, I think this site has the ability to have more uplift. It was on the park, so the design had to be specially designed. So it's actually like a stepped building, steps down. So there's no overshadowing on the park. So our planner told us, we went to council, we said, would this be something that you would support a rezoning through? They said, yes, definitely. We're all for it. Taking into account the overshadowing of the park and surrounding properties. But from there, it started. We went through a design competition. We got the rezoning done first. So we rezoned that to 23 stories, 6-to-1 FSR. And then went into a design competition. So 3 local architects, all put their submissions in and went through that. And the winning architect was a group out in the eastern suburbs, Alexander Design Group. And now the building's under construction. It's up to about level 9, I think, today, from level 23. And, yeah, moving forward. So, yeah, like you can see that if you buy a site today, it doesn't mean you're going to build it tomorrow. So we bought it 10 years ago and now it's under construction. So people would say, what's taking so long? Why is this site not moving? But in the background, you see how much work goes into it. It's not about, like you said earlier, there's so many aspects of the property life. It's not just buy the site, build tomorrow. There's planning, dealing with council, dealing with local government, design competitions. A rezoning process takes 2 years. So then a DA takes another year, then a design competition, then there's pre-sales. Obviously not for this one because it's the build to rent, but a lot goes into that early stages of development.
Thank you so much to Ramon Fayard, our guest on this episode. If you've enjoyed hearing his story, join us next time when he shares some of the most influential people in his life.
People coming from nothing, starting from nothing, and yeah, just reading and understanding how they operate.
We learn about a great achievement in his early life, which motivated him to become a success.
So that was early on in my career as well. So that was one where I said, you know what? I mean, I can Yeah, I felt like Superman after that when that got approved. So I thought nothing can stop us.
Fayyad shares the harsh lesson his father taught him after his first successful development deal.
I'm like, I put a year into this, all my hard work. It was my first DA, my little baby.
And that's next time on Property Investory. And if you love the show and are ready to get serious about investing your money to get a low risk, high return, then SMS me your name and email address on 04998810 40 to become a money partner. Right now, there are great opportunities in the property market, and I'm looking for money partners who want to invest their money for a short 6 months. To register interest, text me your name and email address on 04998810 40.